Welcome to the 9th episode of the Solar Power Hour with your wonderful host, myself, William Grant. And we have a guest today. Justin Ball here is a realtor and has been for quite some time. And he's going to be talking a little bit about his life, his experiences, and what the solar world looks like in real estate. So, Justin, I'll let you kick it off.
Excellent. Glad to be here today. My name is Justin Ball. I am a realtor and specialize in commercial real estate with RE/MAX Traders Unlimited. I don't know that I was one of the very first people to have Sun Collectors put solar on my house, but I was probably in the first year or so here in the Peoria area. And I have worked with home buyers, home sellers, commercial real estate buyers, commercial real estate sellers who have had solar panels and enjoyed the benefits of solar, and a big supporter of you guys and all your work.
Hey, man, I really do appreciate that. So how long have you been in real estate?
Since 2018.
Yep. What did you do before?
I worked in higher education, and I was the vice president of Bradley University.
Really? That's new to me. I did not know that.
Yeah.
You missed the old education days?
There's some days I really miss the people. I really miss the students. There's a lot of parts of the job that I don't miss. And I'm really happy to be my own boss.
Yeah, I can see that. So let's talk about your solar experience. How was it going solar with Sun Collectors? How was the process? And what did that look like for you personally?
It was, it's really abstract when you're a homeowner and people are like, solar's great. You should totally do this. And look at all these savings. And we actually had an engineer who sat down with us, walked me through the process. Mm-hmm. I'm a person who loves to dig into the technical information, and he entertained me for at least probably 90 minutes, understanding everything about the panels, the installation. We have a pretty particular homeowners association where we live, and you guys literally put the packet together, went there, presented on our behalf, and it was a super smooth process.
I love that, man. Yeah, we do the best we can to educate first and foremost, and I would dare say that a lot of solar companies couldn't done what you needed, right? Which is explaining everything, breaking down the numbers, talking about the systems, the warranties, and how everything works out. So is your system completely paid off now? Have you paid it off?
It is.
Awesome.
Yep. Took us a couple of years, but we made it a big priority.
Good, good. And then what's your AMRA bill look like now?
We still do have a gas line because we have a backup generator and a couple gas fireplaces, but it's running $35, $36 a month.
Shoot. What was it before? Do you know?
Astronomical. I was gonna say, right before we got solar, we had seen some of the hikes, and we were probably in the average in the low 300s.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And maybe even in the 200s, high 200s before that.
Awesome. So how many years ago did you get installed? You'll have to forgive me for that.
2000. We went active in the spring of 2022. So it was probably fall of 21.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's a lot of savings. The power rates have gone up pretty substantially since then, too. I bet your neighbors are complaining.
Every time we turn around, me and my wife also own some investment properties, and so we really watch a lot of those rates still, and I work with a lot of businesses, and it's just every time we turn around, it's like watching the cost of lumber and the price of building materials and the cost of electricity and energy going up.
Absolutely. So have you sold a lot of properties with solar on them?
I wouldn't say a lot, but probably three or four, and I can think of a property that we sold in Bartonville. And I bet they were the first people to have solar panels.
Oh, really?
Maybe in Peoria County. So we sold that property, a commercial building, in 2022 or 2023, and they had had solar for like 13 years.
That is a long time for Illinois.
And that panel and that array was still working really efficiently to that day and zeroing out their energy costs directly.
I love it.
And it was really funny because we talked with the owner when we were selling the building, and they had all the documentation, really, really smart scientific people who were doing really cool engineering operations in it. And buyers didn't understand. And so we really sat down and got a great education on it from the building owner, had the array tested. It, came back how well it was functioning and working. And then the person who ultimately bought the building really saw the value in it. That's awesome. It was a major part of the sale for them.
Is that the building where the solar panels are on like a tilted thing?
It is.
No way.
That's exactly it.
I stopped and took a picture of that because I was like, this is some old solar. I did not realize it was 13 years old. That's cool.
Yeah. They were so proud of it. They were like, when we bought this was so expensive. It was the very first one, and we worked really hard to pay it off. And, you know, they did some, like, vehicle maintenance, and they did some light manufacturing in this building. And literally, it had covered them for a solid 10 or 12 years after paying it off. Wow. And it was still humming, like, still excellent.
That's awesome. Well, yours will be humming for the next 30 years to come.
I hope so.
So with what we do in solar and real estate, it can go one or two ways, as you probably already know. Mm-hmm. A lot of realtors have a good understanding and a grasp of it, and I feel like you do as well, because you've had solar on your own home, you've sold houses with solar that have actually added value or added interest. What are you hearing on the real estate side of things and from realtors on solar in general?
Yeah. So I'm a part of the Peoria Area Association of Realtors, and we are just starting to add in fields to the MLS, or the Multiple Listing Service, which is the big database that syndicates stuff out to Zillow and all of our websites and everywhere else. And we're actually starting to put fields in there that tell if they have a solar array on them, whether it's leased, whether it's owned, whether there's money owed on it.
Right.
Because we're starting to see houses that are getting bought and sold that have solar on it, since there has been so many installations over the past couple of years. I think it's challenging if a panel is leased.
Absolutely.
Because it's still kind of viewed as, not to say it's a liability in itself, but just when you're looking at a house as an investment or a purchase, the panels are considered a liability because they usually have a loan or some collateral against them. And that's really complex, because a lot of people don't want to buy the liability in that sense.
Absolutely.
But we can work through it. There's numbers, there's math, and that's what I think a lot of agents don't get, is they don't have the experience to say, here's how you assume a lease, here's how you assume the loan, here's how you work through it, here's the value of it and what it produces. But it's really easy, and it's a great part of a sale when a solar panel set is owned, and we actually have the records and can say, here's the utility bills, here's what it generates, here's the benefits of it.
Absolutely.
And people, you know, probably 2 or 3 years ago, that was really odd to explain that to a buyer or a seller. And today, I don't want to say it's mainstream, but there's not taboo, it's nothing weird. It is another benefit to a house, and it's probably not even as rare as people have geothermal for their heating and cooling. That's really hard to explain and really hard to value.
I could see that. I've never even thought about that. I've never thought about the comparison there between solar and geothermal, because that was a new technology back in the day. People still, like, one of the things we deal with is so frustrating. People are like, oh, I have geothermal, I don't need solar. I'm like, if anything, you need extra solar to then now remove all of your electricity instead of having a gas bill. So I'm like, they go hand in hand. But yeah, that's I bet that was a challenging experience for people when they're trying to sell a house with geothermal back in the day, and probably still currently. I know Tremont has a lot of it.
Yeah. And it's it's funny, because people, like, you know, they want to know where things are buried and things are. And you're like, well, your geothermal coils are, there's 6 coils and they're buried 180 feet down in your yard. And they're like, what happens if I hit them with the lawnmower? I'm like, you're not going to hit your geothermal with the lawnmower. That's not how it works. But, I think a lot more realtors are getting education. Through our association and through experience in the field, through things like the podcast, the good work that you guys do in the community, and they feel more comfortable with home buyers and home sellers, or commercial buyers and sellers, understanding the benefits of the solar and don't just see it as a liability. They do in certain cases, but at the same time, they can put a value on it. We can put a number to it, and homeowners can see a value to that decision to put solar and pay it off in the sale.
Absolutely. Let's circle back for a second, because you were talking about leases, and in our neck of the woods in Illinois, when you're getting so much of return on investment for the tax credit and the Illinois Shines program, it seems not very advantageous to take on a lease, but it's an easy sell, right? Because you're not having to do a hard credit pull. You're not having to do all this other stuff, jump through all these hoops and fully understand the system. Because what these leasing companies do is they come to a homeowner and say, hey, I can do it in 15 minutes. Hey, your power bill's $200. I'm going to get you locked in at $180, not tell you it's going to escalate by 3% a year. You're never going to pay it off. And then I've seen it as well in other markets, especially, that it's actually becoming a deterrent as well as a, like you said, kind of a liability to have that lease on it. Because people don't want to take on that debt. And when you run the numbers with a lease versus an ownership, it can get very, very expensive. You know, the net system cost with ownership is way less than what a lease payment for 25 years is going to run out to. And those, you know, Sunrun is a company that does a lot of leases. And in their contract, they also have that they could sell off the leases like your mortgage. Yeah. So they can just sell them off and take out loans on your behalf, essentially, or on the behalf of that that lease, and use it as their money coming in, essentially, their accounts receivable.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild to see that.
It's crazy that there's a secondary market for solar panel lease.
Is it not?
But it's really frustrating when you're talking with a home buyer who has leased panels, yep, and they're like, what are my options? And it's really, have the buyer of the house assume that lease, uh-huh, when they're already now just taking out a mortgage, probably, for that property, or they can be taken off and you can pay the penalties and the fees. And I don't think anybody has clarity or reads contracts well enough to understand the penalties for doing that, and then to have the panels removed in some cases. And it's kind of a lose-lose for everybody. So whenever I'm making recommendations, I tell people, it's great. You should get solar. You should buy it. You should finance it if you need to and make a goal of getting it paid off.
Absolutely.
But think really hard about leasing. And if you're going to lease, you're in a commitment. It's like taking out a lease on a house. It's like taking out a lease on an office space. You don't just walk away when you're unhappy or you're done. You literally are committed and you're in a contractual relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, we tried to start up an office in Charlotte, North Carolina in January or February of 2020, and COVID hit. And so they did not give a crap that COVID had happened, that we never were able to get the office out of the ground. They're like, give me my money.
Yep.
But the thing about those commercial leases and things, they're usually within 5 years, or a car lease is like a year or two. When you have a 25-year commitment to a solar system that is going to be going up by 3% or sometimes even higher than that per year, it adds up quick. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate for people because they don't know necessarily what they're getting into. And you're right. One of the most annoying things that I see in these lease contracts is that it says fair market value for the system. They never have a clear cut, like, hey, if you buy in 5 years, it's this. 6 years, it's this. And the thing with solar, correct me if I'm wrong, but it actually appreciates in value the higher the power bills get. So mm-hmm. the more these power bills keep going up, the fair market value of solar, especially with the comparable home sales that are happening, is just going up and up and up. Yep. And so it's kind of a catch-22 for people. And that's part of the reason why I'm sure that realtors have such a bad connotation, some of them at least, with solar and how it works and not wanting to learn about it. And it really hurts the people that are doing it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, we've never sold a lease. We're never going to sell a lease because it's not the best thing for the consumer.
I think people move on average every 3 to 5 years. So if you're getting into a relationship for 20 years on a lease or a loan, statistics just say you're going to have moved, you know, at least 3 more times by the time that lease would be run. Now, there are people who stay in their house for 20 years.
Yeah.
They're just not average, and that's not anywhere near the average in the Peoria area of the United States.
Absolutely. So have you, when you're doing appraisals on it or having the appraisals done, do you guys use the income-based capitalization approach when you're looking at solar?
Yep, we do. Absolutely. And so for, in particular in commercial, they view it as an asset. So again, at the same time that you see depreciation on it, we're looking at the money that it actually generates. And so the value of it is going up the more that the electric costs and things that go up in it. It's really interesting because we had a panel of appraisers come out who are valuing homes and commercial properties. And I remember sitting at the panel and they kind of pitched them softballs. Like, oh, hey, here's some easy things to ask. And then it really got down to how do you value solar panels in it? And I remember all three of the appraisers looked at each other and they're like, if you have leased solar panels on your house, it's a liability. Yep. It doesn't matter if you have the biggest array on the planet and you have arrays in your yard and everywhere. He's like, the value of it is zero. You don't own it.
Yep.
There's a liability. There's a lien against it, period. And then they really sat down and broke into some of the math. You could clearly tell who had experience and who didn't in that. But when you looked and you said, here's a panel that's generating $300 a month in this, we can put a value on this. We can say that the average lifespan is another 20 years on this panel. We can times it out. take discount the time value of money on it, and we say, boom, here is the $44,000 that we're going to increase the value of your home in a list price and what we expect to sell it for because you were generating X in there. That was rough numbers. From
I like $44,000. That sounds good for our sake. So I guess on that note, what's the highest value increase you've seen from solar on a residential level?
Boy, that's a tricky question. If I had to just speculate and put a number on it, I would say $20,000 to $25,000.
That's the most we've seen. We had a house sell recently that we helped somebody transfer. That was $25,000 increase in Tremont, which is that's awesome. You know, that's way better than your net system price is ever.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, people, it's tough because it's not the when somebody buys a house, they're buying the solar like they might buy an investment property, right, or buy a stock or buy a bond with it. And so people automatically go to this like, well, I know you got a refund and I know you got this incentive and I know you paid $50,000 for this. And when the dust settled, it was 20. So I'm going to give you 20. Again, it's so abstract for most people that they don't see it as something that we can put a value on.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. That's funny. If you have that, you got a very educated home buyer who's like, oh, I know that you're getting this or that, or the other. But yeah, it really does. And I've tried to explain that to a lot of people. It's that your total system cost is this much. Then you get a 30% tax credit. Then you get the state level incentive. And at the end of the day, you're breaking even day one because that net system cost is always going to be lower than what the added home value is typically in different areas. So it's good to hear that it's adding value. It's good to hear that everything we've been saying over the last 6 years is true. But especially coming from the horse's mouth, right? Yeah. You're dealing with this on a constant basis.
One of the things too, I think, you know, when we go to people and we say, hey, what documentation do you have? It's so helpful when people save documentation and save utility bills from before and after, because then we can literally, in the associated documents of a listing or for a real estate agent to have to be able to share, here's literally the bill from before having the solar panels. Here is the bill after having the solar panels. And really educated realtors can talk about, hey, here's when the credits reset and you can see these during peak times or peak months and vice versa. But then it's really tangible. People look and say like, your bill was $250, your bill is $35. I know there's a real savings here. When to tell them, hey, it's happening, trust me, doesn't always satisfy.
I could see that. And anybody out there listening, we as Sun Collectors have every customer we've ever helped out. We have all the documentation. If you're selling your home and you need to get that documentation, just let us know. We'll send it right over to you. That way you can help. And we could also refer you over to good realtors as well as appraisers to get the most money for your system. And it is unfortunate, and it happens that people just find a realtor, they need to move fast or whatever, and then they don't get the added value for the system because they don't have a realtor that truly understands it. And that's such a disappointing thing to see. And, you know, people are like, yeah, I didn't even think about it. Like, we just left $20,000, $10,000, $15,000 on the table just because you didn't do your due diligence. But that happens too often.
I think a lot of people too just, you know, a realtor is a realtor to them. But if you live on a lake and you have a retaining wall or a seawall or something, you don't want to just hire any realtor. You want somebody who knows what a failing seawall looks like so you don't have an inspection and they say, hey, bad news, your seawall is failing and you're going to need to pay $40,000 to replace it. Same thing if you have a horse property or you have solar panels.
Or buy a condo in the 29th floor.
No comments.
We all make mistakes.
You can put a big solar panel up on top of
those. Oh, man. We just said, that's funny you say that. We just got a quote because I'm on the board at the Twin Towers. And all the roof space, which I say all the roof space, it is kind of a tiny amount of roof space. But for a 44 kilowatt system, it's only offsetting 5% of the common areas. It's a lot of power. That place is leaking energy like crazy.
In a common area with a basketball court in it or what?
You would think, right? That's wild. I mean, you're talking about the heating and cooling for all the elevator shafts, but that was in the lobby, but that's it. I mean, that's so much money and power. Wow. And I feel so bad for them because the power bills aren't going to care. They're going to keep going up. Yep. And it's like that increases the HOA fees. That increases the cost of living. It's just ridiculous. But the first thing I did when I got there, I was like, how do I put wind turbines up here? How do I make this work? But I can't find anything that works. So if anybody specializes in wind turbines and wants to help me out, please by all means.
Give them a call. You know, you talked about the exact kilowatts of a system. And again, I'm not technical enough to know exactly what things are, but we have a community here where there's some really savvy engineers who work for Caterpillar, who work for Komatsu, who work for different things. And when there's a solar system involved, they really want to dig into
Oh,
it.
so much.
And it's really cool when we've had clients who have been with Sunrun and people ask them and they're like, hold on, let me pull up the app. I know it's not you guys, it's a third party app, but who's the
So we have Enphase, Solar Edge,
Enphase,
is
there you
that?
go. That's exactly. And they're like, hold on, let me pull my app up. And they're like, oh, it's a 15 watt system. And here's what we generated last month and last quarter. And this, and we're literally sitting like scrolling through. And not that my eyes glaze over, but I'm like, oh, this is really good. But there are people who are like, let me see your phone so I can really get this. And I want to screenshot and then I want to understand. And they appreciate the intricacy of the details. So I tell people you can never have too much information. You can never
Absolutely.
save enough information, but it's really nice to know that you can get all of that and you keep all the records and do all those things.
Absolutely. So another interesting thing that's changed a little bit since we did your install. We have a 30-year warranty now backed by a multi-billion dollar insurance company. And the cool thing about it has nothing to do with the name of the homeowner itself. It's all about the property address. And they have a preferred list of contractors, which we're on that list. And I'm sure you've seen all the solar companies going in and out of business, which is it's sad for the industry. But it stays with that property. So even if the worst case happens with us, they'll actually come out and do an estimate on fixing it, and they'll cover everything. And they'll have a preferred contractor come out there. They'll cover parts, labor, everything involved. Because a lot of these companies will just rely on that 5-year workmanship, and then they'll point fingers at this, that, and the other. But it doesn't cover diagnostics. It doesn't cover all this other stuff that these companies are offering. So that stays with the property, and that helps people out like yourself, realtors trying to sell a property, say, hey, look, you still got 25 years of warranty, 20, 23 years, whatever it may be. You have that warranty for the long term. And obviously you have panel warranties, and we're always going to help you out as well. And that's something that we're specializing in now too, is solar service. So we're
Oh,
doing all our
nice.
own installs, and we're taking on so much solar service because people are getting abandoned. You have a $30,000 system up here in your house, $40,000 system, and nobody's there to take care of it. It's like the worst thing in the world. You got a power bill and a loan payment, and they don't give a crap, or a lease payment. They don't give a crap. You're gonna have to pay both or you're going to court.
Those warranties are important because it gives people peace of mind. And that in the process of buying and selling real estate, it's usually one of the biggest investments people make, just like solar is a big investment for your clients. And that peace of mind goes a long way.
It does.
And there's good warranties and there's bad warranties and there's everything, a variety of things in between and service on them. But having a warranty and having a good warranty really goes a long way in helping home buyers feel really good about the purchase and really good about acquiring panels, or probably putting panels on
Absolutely.
in the case that they live there.
It's one of the expressions we use often is that if you do right by someone like yourself, you probably told quite a few people just because of who you are. But most people would tell two or three friends that they think qualify for solar, like, hey, you should give them a call. Maybe one of those friends calls us and we get a referral that way. But man, these companies that come out and they get people caught in something they don't want to, or they go out of business. And Illinois just as well as I do. Everyone loves to talk crap. So it's like they tell 15 people that solar is the worst thing in the world, that it's never going to work, all this other stuff. And it hurts the industry. So it's so good to have people like yourselves on the podcast that like talk about the positives and what you're actually seeing and being real with people. And that's something that Illinois needs desperately. But the bad companies are falling out of business, so that helps us.
There's a lot of money going into solar and going into energy and thinking about it. And I know there's a lot of politics behind it, but when you've got that kind of investment by Illinois and by the federal government, I don't think it's going anywhere. And I tell home buyers and sellers and building buyers and sellers with solar on it, there's a warranty for it. It's going to be around. It's not going away. There may be changes in policy and changes in legislation and funding.
Unfortunately. Yeah, it's not going anywhere. There's always this curve of power bills catching up to it, or solar dropping down a little bit in cost, and the power bills just keep increasing. And Illinois, being the state that it is, it's not going to go anywhere soon, even if something changes on the federal level. So all that would mean is that people in Illinois are going to have to pay more in taxes and fees and all this other stuff to supplement it. Unfortunately for the people, but it's the realistic expectations we have.
And not that this is, again, not to get into political things, but people said, well, what if the power costs go down? And I said, I'm just going to tell you, I can't tell you this with 100% confidence, but if for some reason the cost of delivery for power or energy went down, I'm sure they're going to reinvest it in the infrastructure. They're not going to turn around and say, hey, good news, we're cutting your bill.
They did something like that recently where they dropped the supply charge by a little bit, but then they increased the taxes and fees. And so it was like it actually increased, but they're like sending stuff out that the power rate's going down. I'm like, what the heck? But yeah, so I don't, are you aware that net metering is different now?
I am aware of that. I pushed, I had several people who I had been talking to and who had asked me about solar in my neighborhood or my network. Mm-hmm. And I went, somebody, I can't remember who told me and gave me that information. Mm-hmm. I think Hunter came to our BNI, okay. talked about it. You've got some other good staff who come in and give updates on things. But I called the people and I was like, hey, last year, get on it if you're going to get on it. Because this is a time and opportunity that's not going to be back around again.
Yeah, unfortunately. And so that kind of leads me to my next question. So with what we're doing now, every system we sold this year has had a battery attached, or one to two batteries. Have you sold a house yet with a battery on it with solar as well?
I have not sold a house with a battery on it.
Yeah, because this is like backup generation. One of the interesting things that we're looking towards in the future is that Ameren's going to be doing a time of use rate. I can't say for 100% certainty, but that's what every other solar market has done. So essentially, whenever they don't want you to use power, typically around like 2 to 7 p.m., mm-hmm. they'll charge the ever-living crap out of you to keep you from using the power. So you wash your clothes, charge your car at different times, right, when the stress on the grid isn't high. And what the battery allows you to do is you can also store the energy from your system, let it out at to your home when it needs it instead of sending it back to the grid. If any power does get back to the grid, you're getting a credit for it, which is nice, but it's just on the supply side and nothing really on the delivery. You still have all the taxes and fees and delivery. But the interesting thing is that you can store that energy from the power grid with the way we do our systems. Now, there are other ways to do it, but you can store the power at a cheaper price point. So let's say it's going to be a cloudy day. And early in the morning, you're actually storing energy at a low cost point from the power grid, and you're putting it back into your home when the power rate is super high. So that's what California's done, Arizona done, has done. All these companies and all these states with programs have changed up quite a bit as the time of use rate, because the stress of the grid gets so high when the demand is high and you have so much renewable energy on the grid. These businesses still have to run. Hospitals still have to run. Cloudy days, non-windy days, how are you going to get that power there? So it's just kind of the way we're doing things now. But I was interested to see if you sold a house with it. I'm sure you will mm-hmm. in the coming future. The batteries are here. They're here now.
So your batteries that you're putting mm-hmm. in that come as a part of all the systems now, do those in theory replace a backup generator as well or function as a backup generator?
Absolutely. The only thing that's there, is, just to be real with everyone, is in Illinois, we do get a lot of snow. So if your panels are completely covered in snow, you're not going to necessarily be able to use that battery, but it does cover your critical loads. It's not as powerful per se as a generator as far as the maximum output, but you can by far, you could live on it for a couple of weeks and be comfortable as long as the power or the sun's out.
Yeah, I think there's so many people, especially as you get in rural neighborhoods, mm-hmm. Who really value having a backup generator.
Oh, absolutely.
And who use it and who maintain it and, mm-hmm. and put a lot of time and energy into it. And so it's really a selling point to be able to say you essentially have a baked-in backup generator.
Yeah.
And for people out there looking for business ideas, you could be a solar panel, snow removal.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely could help.
I did have somebody ask me, and I don't know whether they were asking jokingly or asking seriously about it, about cleaning solar panels. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, how often do you clean your solar panels? And it was kind of one of those questions where I'm like, boy, there's no good answer for this, because my answer is I don't clean my solar panels. Right.
That's the right answer. Honestly, the only people we've ever had to actually clean them are farmers. Because when they're harvesting, all that dust gets kicked up and can get caked on the panels. So they'll clean them occasionally. And then I was talking to my brother, because we're from North Carolina, and he was like, yeah, one of our friends has solar on their house, and there's so much pollen in the spring that it covers the panels. And that doesn't typically happen out here. You know, there are solar cleaning companies out there, like especially in Nevada, because there's no wind or rain. But out here, there's not really a need for it. And if there ever is a need for it, we'll figure out something to help somebody out with it. But it's not necessarily necessary. All of that's kind of built into the projections as well.
Very good. Well, then I can answer confidently that I don't clean my solar panels.
That's okay.
And that I clean my dryer lids and my garbage disposal out regularly and all that. The appropriate maintenance of things that need to be done.
We only have so much time in the day. You remind me, I just bought a dishwasher cleaner thing and all this other stuff, a dryer cleaner, because I was like, oh, I need to do that. It's been 2 years. I'm like, probably the time.
I was talking with some homeowners the other day, and somebody said, a home buyer and home seller are talking, and the buyer said, "How often do you clean your washer, clean out and vent and, or I don't know, grating or whatever it was?" And my face and the other person's face were like, "You can clean a washer. There's an actual filter to be."
Yeah, it was news to me too. I was like, "Oh crap!" Because it started like the clothes started smelling a little dingy. I'm like, "What's going on here?" And I started like messing around, watching a YouTube video. I'm like, "What?" Like, that's a lot.
There's cleanouts on everything. Duds, the washers, dryers, dishwashers, everything that's on there.
Not too much of solar, though, so that's good. Maybe in 10, 15 years, get somebody to go up there and clean it, but that's about it.
I think the other thing that's interesting is we're seeing people build commercial buildings, whether they're more like warehouses and contractor bays or whether they're small multifamilies. And they're really, it's viable now in the build to put solar on from the very get-go, to design the building with that, and then either to pass the fees on in some way to those tenants or those renters, or to bake it into a kind of full service lease that includes utilities. And it's really smart. And I think we're really seeing, you know, not, you know, huge companies that are coming in that are building these, I can't remember what the LEED friendly buildings and all these, but really just mom and pop business owners who say, "Hey, I need a contractor bay and I'm going to build a 4-bay unit." Yeah. They're seeing the value in it. They're doing it and they're really happy with the results.
Absolutely. I wish everyone, like, it'd be so fun to build your own house and integrate solar with it, whether that be a giant ground mount somewhere out of sight, out of mind, or even just making your home design for it. Because you've seen the systems we have to do. We're working with what we have. And so a completely southern facing roof is optimal. So just having a frame just all south facing, just max it out, would be pretty amazing. Did you see we gave a system to Emos?
I did.
Yeah.
I see it all the time when I drive by and I look at it and I see how thought out it was to put on a roof. And I think about how much power they're storing up in the seasons that they're not open, even compared to the seasons that they're open.
Yep, that was completely for free. And we gave it to them just to help them out, because knowing what the power rates are, knowing how much power they were using was just astronomical. And it's only going to get worse for them. And try to keep the ice cream prices down is kind of the joke. But it's not going to get any better for them. You know, that's something we donated. It was actually a hard sell, Justin. Try to convince, you know, they're a lovely couple, but they're older, right? And they, you know, to try to convince them that this is a free system was very challenging for no reason. And I was like, "No, we're actually like doing this out of the kindness of our heart. Like, we just want to see you guys stay in business. It's a good spot for us as well." It was such a challenging thing. And then, the Illinois Shines Incentive, they looked through the contract. They're like, "We don't want anything to do with that." I was like, "You talking about... You don't want a $12,000 check?" They're like, "Nope." I'm like, "Okay,
awesome. You can just buy $12,000 worth of ice cream."
I'm like, "Awesome. Well, here's your system." Oh, man, that was a fun time.
Well, this year when Emos opens for the first day of the season and I see all the people lined up and I go and get ice cream, I'll be like, "I'm so thankful inflation hasn't hit the ice cream industry."
Absolutely.
Because Sun Collectors has kept their energy.
We're trying to help them out. One of the things you said earlier was talking about the transfer of the system. Regardless of leases, because I know leases can be a real big pain, but with ownership, how do you typically do it? Have you transferred the loan, or have you really just used the capital in the house to pay off the loan whenever it escrows?
Typically, the scenarios that I can think of is that the systems were either paid off or they were paid off at closing.
Right.
And so at the closing table, when we got to there, the solar company was paid off so that there was no actual transfer lien. And I guess you would call it the difference in that was baked into the purchase price of the house, assuming a paid off set. And so that's kind of how we would advise people who are selling to that say, "Hey, we may have $12,000 left to pay on our solar," and we would say, "Well, it's not like I'm going to take your $12,000 debt and start paying it. We can adjust the price of the house, and then at closing, just like you pay off your mortgage for a house when you're selling it at the closing, that lien would be paid off too."
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely the right way to do it. It can become dicey whenever you're trying to transfer that loan to somebody. And why complicate or muddy the process, right? Is there anything that is requiring the seller to state what they still owe on the system to the buyer, or is that just something that you guys handle on just the seller side?
Yeah, it's usually just on the seller side because okay. just like it doesn't matter what your mortgage is left, as right. long as you're selling your property for more than what the mortgage is, so you're not coming and bringing money to the table. It's just seen as another line item expense on the closing. Easy.
And then what about the transfer on the Illinois Shines level? You just put those in with the closing documents?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. See, I love a good realtor, man. It makes a world of difference.
I mean, anytime, just like people have warranties on their roof or people have credits on XYZ or they have a service, a termite plan that they have paid for to prevent termites,
right.
that plan just transfers. We make sure to take the paperwork so it's official and legit. Yep. We notify the company, hey, this is being transferred. The new owner is X. Mm-hmm. And it's a part of the paperwork and process.
Yeah, it's super easy too. I mean, the only thing we're really... The warranty stays with the property now, and then beyond that, it's just the transfer of the data. So you're just saying, hey, look, this person just bought this house. And a lot of clients can figure that out themselves. A lot of people that are buying houses like, oh, it's this system. I'm going to call them up, customer support, and they get on pretty no problem. But if anybody ever has an issue with it, they just call us up, and then we figure it out for them. But the vein of my existence is when they don't contact us first and they sell their house because they're in a pinch or because they just want to get out of there, whatever it is, but they don't contact us so we can give some advice because we've seen it, we've done it, we've heard it. And whenever you're like trying to muddy the waters and you're like, oh, well, actually in the closing docs, we forgot to give you this Illinois Shines thing to transfer the asset to them. Or, oh, what about this loan? And it becomes this whole thing and it's like trying to transfer this loan. It doesn't have to be that complicated. It can be very, very easy and simple and get you the best bang for the buck when you're not really disclosing all this stuff for the buyer when it's none of their business what you paid on it or not.
Yeah,
it can be so good, but it can be so bad.
It's really anything. And again, it's being a really good advocate as a realtor for your buyer or for your seller, crossing our T's, dotting our I's.
Right.
Nothing's more odd than when you call the pest control people and you say, hey, we paid for your plan. We bought the house for this. And they're like, your name's not in here. We don't have the paperwork showing you transfer to. And you go through the rigmarole of going through the process. But everything's the same. Be upfront, be transparent, do the paperwork, do the notifications, and everything should be really nice and clean.
Absolutely. So one of the things we talk about a lot is the fact that solar does have problems, right? Like even our company with our systems, typically they're not going to just be up and running for 30 years and without any issues that arise. Have you had any issues with your system at all?
I have not had any issues with my system so far. Fingers awesome. Crossed.
Yeah, I was just going to ask how was the customer service experience after that, but that also works.
Yep.
There's just little fail things. It is an active system, so things do go out. One of the most common things we get is internet changes. So if someone changes their provider, and then we're having to reconnect it. But that's just super simple. We love those calls.
Tier one tech support. Change over your internet provider.
That's a phone call. That's easy. Let's see how we're doing on time. We have to get out here in a little bit. Any other things you got to share with the people?
No, I think if you're making a good investment in solar and you are thinking about selling your home or commercial building, I'd be really happy to help you, be really happy to speak with you and help you understand the value of your asset and how you can convey that to a buyer of your building or a buyer of your home.
Absolutely. How can people find you?
You can go to our website, which is greaterpeoriahomes.com, or for commercial real estate, commercialpeoria.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on all the socials. I'm not out there doing podcasts weekly, but people can find me if they need to.
Hey, it's a new thing for me, though. but yeah, it's just to give the information to people. I do love this platform and being able to cut shorts out of it and things so we can educate first and foremost. It's hard to reach everyone. it's a difficult thing to get the right information in people's ears. But it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on here, Justin. Again, if you're looking to sell a home with solar on it, give a call to Justin. Let him help you. Let him show you how it's done. That way you're not leaving money on the table. Or even if you do have a lease on the system, someone that can portray that to the home buyer to make it a little bit easier of a process. And solar can be done right, and we do it right here. Justin sells homes and businesses right. Now businesses.
Now it's selling businesses too.
But yeah, thank you all for joining for the 9th episode of the Solar Power Hour. We'll see you next week.